Welcome to Mac Voices. This is the show where you hear from the folks around the Mac community who are really making it happen. And this time, we're happy to welcome back an old friend and a first-time appearance, really, on Mac Voices, but the first of many, we hope, Michael Horton of the Los Angeles Final Cut Pro Users Group. Mike, welcome to Mac Voices.
I'm grateful to be here, Chuck. By the way, where did you come up with the name Mac Voices? Did that just come to you in a dream?
You're the first one to ask me that, and it was just one of those moments of inspiration, if you can call it that. We're obviously talking podcasting. We're talking to people in the Mac community, and we don't have any major plans to go video, and it just seemed a natural fit.
So I can't say anything about PCs because I'm a Mac voice.
Well, you know, the idea here maybe will be to let some of your PC friends listen to this and find out just how cool all the Mac folks are, Mike.
That's right. Okay.
You know, we all know that the Mac platform is where all the excitement is happening, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And thanks to you.
Yeah. And thanks to you, too, and all the Final Cut Pro people. I'll use that as a segue. You all seem to have a little bit different slant on the whole user group experience. I tend to think of you all as a borderline or evolving aspect of the user group community, and we've talked about that before on the old show. You all tend not to just put on the average regular meeting, but you also put on a lot of cool special events, and you've got one coming up at DV Expo West.
Yeah, that's going to be this coming Wednesday, December 7th at 7 p.m. at the LA Convention Center as part of DV Expo West. And this is something I've done for, the last 4 years now? This will be, I think, the fifth year. Upstairs from the expo floor, we have a big room, and we invite a lot of really good guests, and we pack the room and give away a lot of raffle prizes and do a lot of education and have a little bit of fun. And this is one of the national shows that I do, along with other Final Cut groups around the world. We're going to be doing Macworld. We'll talk a little bit about that later in January, and then we do NAB in April, and then we do other shows, DV Expo East, and of course with the New York group, and all these other shows, which kind of gives everybody a little bit of taste of what we do. And of course, then we do our monthly meetings also. So it's we never rest. I never sleep. I don't have a life.
Which one of us does, Mike?
Please, I'm going to go down and kiss my wife right now. I just miss her all of a sudden. But anyway, the DV Expo show is going to be a really good one. We have Academy Award-winning Steadicam inventor and cameraman Garrett Brown, who is just beyond awesome. The guy is one of the funniest people in the world, and he's much smarter than you and I. He's not only a brilliant performer and a brilliant cameraman, but he invented the friggin' Steadicam, which pretty much changed the way we shoot movies and cover sporting events. And again, we were talking briefly before. You know, we came up with that wonderful idea for the iPod Nano. Well, Garrett Brown is not an engineer. He just comes up with the idea, and then he goes to the engineers to develop his ideas. And so you and I are going to make $1 million on that iPod Nano idea and do it the same way that Garrett Brown did.
That sounds good. We just won't tell anybody what it is until we're ready to go live.
No. We're going to keep this a little bit suspenseful. We're not going to give this away because it is $1 million idea. But Garrett Brown came up with a Steadicam. He is an inventor, a creative guy, can draw this stuff, but he is not an engineer. He just went to the engineers and did this. Anyway, he's going to be showing off his new Steadicam called the Merlin, which is a very affordable Steadicam device for consumer camcorders such as the XL1 and the new HDV cameras and basically any camcorder that any of you out there have. And then Kirk Paulson from Apple is going to show off the brand new Just Shipping Aperture, which is the photo imaging tool from Apple. I think it's just shipping like now. And then we're going to have Steve Martin show off and Brian Gary show off. What are they going to show off? They're going to show off how to take your Final Cut Pro movie to your iPod, which is, of course, what everybody's doing. In fact, why aren't you doing that? You're not doing video podcasting yet, right?
No, I don't think the world's ready for my video podcast.
is this a makeup thing?
Lighting, strictly lighting, Mike.
The lighting thing, exactly. Anyway, we're going to talk about lighting and how to make guys like Chuck Joyner look really good on video podcasts. And what else we're going to do? We're going to have, again, our world-famous raffle, which is going to raffle off thousands of dollars worth of prizes. And then we have a couple of other surprises coming up which I can't talk about until I think in a couple of days and when I absolutely ink them. But it'll be a big, big show, and that's at 7 p.m. at DV Expo on Wednesday, December 7th in Los Angeles. So those of you who are going to that, and you're not going to want to miss that one, because those of you who have been there before know that it's a really good show.
Mike, how do the listeners attend your event if they are going? Are there just tickets at the door, or are there advance tickets? How does that work?
Yeah, this is actually, it's a free event. As long as you're registered for DV Expo, all you have to do is hang around there all day. The expo that day on December 7th is open until 7 o'clock, and then at exactly 7 o'clock we start our show. So it also gives you a chance to, I mean, there's, if you live in Los Angeles, you know you just don't get on the freeway at 7 o'clock. You might as well just stay there because the traffic is so horrible, there's just no point in getting on the freeway. So stay there and hang around with us for a couple of hours and then get on the freeway, and then you'll be home at a decent hour. So it's an actual free event, but you do have to register for DV Expo, and all you have to do is go to the LaFCPUG website, which is lafcpug.org, and then click on the DV Expo little banner there on the front page, and that'll tell you the instructions on how to register and where it is and when to get there and what's on the agenda and what is on the raffle prize list, because a lot of people go there just for the raffle prizes. Let's just be honest.
Now, of course, I'll have the link in the show notes so that people won't have any trouble finding it. I did want to ask you, I was somewhat surprised to see Aperture on your list of events. You all seem to, and I say you, meaning the Final Cut Pro community, seem to be so dedicated to motion graphics that Aperture, as I understand it anyway, is a still photographer's tool. Why the excitement there?
Well, you know, when Apple asked me if I would show it, I was going, well, I don't know, is anybody really, at least my crowd, interested in it? And apparently there has been a lot of buzz, at least on my forums at LaFCPUG, about Aperture, and apparently a lot of people are interested in it. And so I figured, what the heck, I might as well see what it's all about and show everybody what it's all about, and we'll take it from there. But you're right, we're not, I'm not even sure Aperture is that big of a deal for our crowd, but there seems to be people wanting to know about it and talk about it. Because a lot of the photographers, the cinematographers in our group are also still photographers. So, and we do a lot of stuff with our editing with still photographs, and Aperture might help. I don't know yet because I don't know enough about it. So I'll be seeing it for the first time, like everybody else will be. And we're lucky to have Kirk Paulson doing the demo, because he's the senior director of marketing for all the pro apps at Apple, in a very senior position, and knows Aperture very well.
Mike, I've been involved in putting together some significant user group events in the past, and it is not a small job.
It's beyond huge, and you know that, and it's ridiculously hard.
Well, it is.
It is.
it is, and yet you all seem to do it without much effort at all, and you seem to do so many of them. How do you put events like this together, and what kind of team do you have behind the scenes running all of it?
It's not easy. The DV Expo thing is pretty much my show, so it's just finding the agenda, getting the room, begging for the raffle prizes. And so in that respect, it's actually pretty easy. The event that we're doing at Macworld and NAB involves a lot of other groups, such as San Francisco and Chicago and Boston. And so we're all emailing each other constantly, daily, weekly, with agenda updates, with sponsor updates, because we're trying to, we're trying to pay for these things, because these things cost a lot of money, especially the event at NAB. And so we're all in the same boat in terms of raising enough money to actually put these events on. And that's the biggest hassle. The agendas are pretty easy. We have tons of wonderful stuff out there to choose from. And that becomes a little bit of a problem, just choosing what is best for these national events, because these national events are much different than a monthly meeting. It's more showbiz. Even though it's educational, it's still much more showbiz, because you're dealing with an audience of 750 to 1,000 people, and you better entertain these people. And so those are the kind of demos we tend to look for those kinds of events. And but I, you know what, I don't know how it comes together. It just sort of does, and it's just a lot of work. And but you know, eventually it just it does come together, and we just have a really good time. And that's sort of the bottom line, is we kind of, we better have a really good time here on this thing, and otherwise it's just not worth doing it.
Agreed.
And people better learn something.
Agreed. Those are the two key points, and I think that probably having a good time has to come first.
Yeah, I think that's the only motivation for keeping you going. Because you look back on those events that we've done over the last several years, and there's always wonderful stories and good times and good fellowship and great networking. And networking really is a big deal at these events. People meet each other for the first time who have talked to each other online for 6 months, and then they finally come together at these national events and see each other face-to-face and become lifelong friends from that, and also sometimes become associates. People get work at these events, and that's a very big deal. I mean, that's kind of what we're here for. User groups or at least the professional user groups, such as the Final Cut Pro user groups, you know, our big mantra is to help each other get work, and we do that. And that's a really big deal when that does happen, and we love that when it happens. And these national events go a long way to make that happen.
Mike, outside of the part of the event that you're putting together, give the listeners an idea of what an attendee would see if he walked into DV Expo West. Is it primarily an exhibit floor? Is it demonstrations and techniques that and classes that are being taught, or a mixture of everything?
At DV Expo West is not that much different than any other trade show. You have your expo, which has a lot of the vendors there to show off their wares, and Apple will be there with their education classroom, and all the usual Canon and Panasonic, and anybody involved in the digital video industry will be at DV Expo. And along with that, there's all these great conferences where you can take your Apple-certified training classes and such things as Final Cut Pro or Motion or any of the Pro apps. Avid will be there having their certification classes. And then guys like Adam Wilt and Chris Meyer of DV Magazine, they'll all be teaching stuff on After Effects and HDV and all sorts of things. So if you're a digital video guy, this is the one to go to. And each December, it really packs them in. I mean, it kind of amazes me, because I always think that December is really a lousy time to have a trade show, because it's December. Why would anybody have a trade show in December? But they do, and it does very well, and they keep doing it. So we keep going there, and we have a big show that December 7th, like I said, and that attracts 200-300 people, and we've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. So it's a really enjoyable time, and plus you can learn a lot. I mean, you can go to dvexpo.com, register for these conferences, and you got some of the best teachers in the world that are going to be there.
Mike, the other thing I want to make sure we hit is what you talked about as one of the feature presentations of your event, and that is taking Final Cut Pro projects down to the video iPod. This surprises me a little bit that there's as much interest as there is. The small screen all of a sudden is the hot new thing.
Yeah, I'm as surprised as you are. I still am learning a lot about that, and we have two of the best, Steve Martin and Brian Gary, going to tell you exactly how to do it. I don't know how big this is. I don't know if there's just a lot of buzz that people are just talking about it, but are a lot of people doing it? Well, apparently a lot of people are doing it, or they certainly want to do it, and they just don't know how to do it. And with the iTunes Store and RSS and XML and getting your video podcasts into that, it's pretty much so simple. It's a lot of people are at least experimenting with it. So we're going to tell you exactly step by step on how to take your movie to your iPod. But again, I'm like you. I don't know exactly how big this is either, but apparently from what I've been reading and seeing and hearing, it's a lot bigger than we think it is.
Well, as a content creator, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like you can effectively communicate things that you want to communicate on the small screen?
Yeah, you know what? The other day I saw, it was the first time I actually looked at one of those video iPods. It was a friend of mine who did a, he's carrying around his, it was Brad Wright, who was the author of DVD by DV, and he carries around these clips on his video iPod that he plugs into a Macintosh or a projector as he goes around doing demos, and then projects that stuff on the big screen, and it looks incredible. I mean, all he doesn't carry around anything more than that little video iPod. Anyway, I watched the stuff on his little screen there, and after about 1 minute or so, I didn't even think that I was looking at a small screen. I was sort of just into what I was watching, and so I forgot that I'm watching it on this 3-inch screen or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think you can get a heck of a lot. I think you can watch a TV show on these little screens. I think you can. I don't know if you can watch a movie on these little things, but I think you can spend 30 minutes to an hour on these little screens. But I don't know, you know. So it remains to be seen how it'll shake out, but after a while, you forget that you're watching a tiny screen if you like the content that you're watching. And, of course, that's what it all comes down to. If the content is compelling, does it really matter that you're watching it on a small screen or a big screen?
Well, you tell me. Again, you're the expert, and that's one of the reasons that we have you here.
Well, as content is king, as they always say. So it's if that content is compelling, it doesn't matter really how it looks or how it's viewed. It would be nice to view it on a big screen, but if it's compelling enough, you'll view it on a small screen, and a lot of people think that. My only thing is how long can you stare at that small screen before you get kind of tired? And apparently a lot of people can stare at it for a long time. I don't know if I can. I don't know yet. I think the culture is going to change because of this, but the battery technology better follow.
Yeah, that's something that I don't think any of us have had enough experience with yet to find out just how much of an issue that is.
These are really
be.
Good questions to bring up because, you know, a lot of people are bringing them up. But I got to be honest with you. When I first saw the iPod at Macworld 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of went, eh. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask because obviously I was wrong.
Well, but the iPod itself and portable music was something that it was new, but it was also a tried and true concept via the Sony Walkman. I just find it really intriguing that people like you and the FCP crowd who are used to the professional level tools, the huge cinema displays and all, are suddenly starting to become excited about creating for the real small screen. We still haven't come up with a proper term for it. You know, TV was always the small screen. Now we have the mini screen, the micro screen, the nano screen, whatever.
No, there's a lot to shake out here in the next coming months, and I say months, not years, because everything does shake out in months in terms of technology. People are going to be, and probably are, and I just haven't seen what they're doing yet, but there's video podcasts just bouncing up like crazy up in the iTunes store right now. So people are doing some really wonderful professional jobs. The lighting is excellent. I wish I'd had the URL for one of these video casts that I saw the other day. That was absolutely excellent, and it was done by a group of, I'm assuming, amateurs, but it was very well lit, very professionally done. I think the biggest problem is how you're going to make money off of this stuff, and of course that's the same thing with podcasts and video casts. You put a lot of work into this stuff, and eventually hobbies tend to go the way of hobbies. And if you really want to get motivated, if you really want to continue doing this stuff, somebody's going to have to be paid for it. And I think that's, if somebody can figure out a way to make money off of these things, that's when this thing is going to fly. But right now, I don't see anybody making any money off of podcasts or vodcasts. But it'll eventually happen. And again, it's all about content. If you want to see that stuff bad enough, you'll pay for it.
What other trends do you see in the FCP world right now, Mike? Anything particular that's hot?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's good Lord. I mean, it changes like from month to month. I mean, obviously what's hot right now is what's red hot is HDV, which is the consumer version of high definition, which is the Sony Z1 and FX1. And Panasonic will be shipping next week, I believe, a different format of HD, which uses the DVC Pro HD codec called the HVX200. That's taken the world by storm because it doesn't record to tape. It records to a memory card called the P2 card. So that changes the whole paradigm right there. Instead of using tape, now you use this little card. And then, of course, Canon's coming out with their HDV camera, I believe, this December called the XL2. I don't know what it is. And JVC has their version of HDV. So you have all these consumerish versions of HD, which everybody's salivating over. But it requires you to do a lot of homework before, especially if you're a Final Cut Pro user, I would suggest you do a lot of homework before you decide on one format or the other, because this stuff isn't exactly what you think it is. And not to get real technical about it, it is not real HD. It is something called HD video, which is different. It's a highly compressed, high-definition format. That is not to say that the image doesn't look fantastic. It does. But, of course, once you start moving the camera around, it sort of kind of tells you that, well, this isn't that stuff that they used on Collateral that Michael Mann used. That was high-definition, but... So high definition is the big buzzword out there, and everybody's getting into it, but a lot of people need to do a lot of homework before they actually go out and purchase that particular camera, because these camcorders are different, and they use a different format, and your editing software might or might not support that camcorder, so you got to do your homework.
Is that to say it's a format to be avoided, or just be aware of the limitations?
You have to be aware of the limitation. You have to be aware of what it is. I mean, if you expect to see something that you've seen on certain television shows and certain movies that have shot HD, you're not going to get this out of those sorts of camcorders. These are consumer camcorders, which is why they're $5,000. These cameras that were shooting those movies are not $5,000. They're hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's a whole different ball game out there. And also, editing this stuff is not easy. Even though Final Cut Pro makes editing HDV pretty much as simple as editing DV, it's still not the same. And you go visit any Final Cut Pro website, such as LassiePug or Creative Cow or 2Pop or any of those places. Ask about this stuff. Search about this stuff. And you'll get a lot of varied opinions on not only editing the stuff, but the image. Everybody has their own opinions on this stuff. DV InfoNet has got a lot of good information on both HD and the DVC Pro HD codec from Panasonic. But a lot of this will get really, really technical, but it boils down to what is good for you, what looks good to you, what is easy for you, and what you know. But you got to do your homework before you get into this stuff, or I think you'll be sorry.
Mike, you're right. We don't want to degenerate into too much technicality, but I'm intrigued, and I'm sure the listeners would be too. What is so much different about editing HD? Is it just horsepower of the machines, or is there something in particular?
Yeah, I mean, it's in terms of actually editing this stuff, if you have the right horsepower, if you have enough horsepower, if you have the right hard drive to go along with, and it also depends on what kind of HD that you're talking about. If you're talking about uncompressed HD, you're going to need an X-ray and a lot of very powerful drives and a lot of drives, because all that information that's going into your computer is a lot of information. It's going to fill up those drives very quickly. Where HDV is pretty much the same size as DV, so you don't need powerful drives in order to edit it. You can pretty much take your off-the-shelf iMac and edit HDV on it. The problem comes is when you're through editing this thing, and then you need to do what is called conforming, when you output this stuff, and that takes a long time, and it's a kind of a long render, because this is an MPEG-2 type of codec, And it just takes a long time to render this thing out. And if you have a powerful machine, such as a dual G5, it takes less time. So, again, you can do home movies and things with HDV very nicely on an iMac. But if you really want to do some good professional stuff, you're going to need your dual G5. And if you want to monitor out to an external monitor, you're going to have to get a capture card. And it requires, again, a lot of homework to set up your system correctly for this stuff. It's just not the same as plugging your camera into your Mac and starting to edit. Even though you can do it that way, you might be sorry with some of the results if you do it that way. Because, again, I'm trying not to be as technical as I can because it involves a lot of stuff here. But let's put it this way. You can edit HDV via FireWire onto your iMac, but you don't necessarily want to do it that way if you want professional results.
Yeah, I think we've all probably had those kind of projects where, yeah, you can do it on this piece of equipment or maybe your 5-year-old Mac, but you really don't want to.
And the problem also becomes then what do you do with this HD stuff? You can't put it on a DVD because there's no HD DVDs. There's no HD DVD players. The only thing you really do is plug your HDV camera into your HD TV and show it there. And that's pretty much it right now. And that's the only way you're going to see that beautiful HDV image is by plugging your camera directly into your HDTV. So, you know, until we have the HD DVD players with the HD DVDs, there's not a heck of a lot you can do with this stuff.
Well, that makes me feel better because that means I don't have to lust after all this stuff because there really isn't a practical application, at least
not yet.
For me.
You know, by the time, if we have the same conversation at this time next year, there will be those. But right now, there's not a lot you can do with it. You can author HD DVDs, but where are you going to play them? There isn't any place to play them.
Well, but you're right. That'll change quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure the listeners know that Mike has agreed to come back on a regular basis and update us on the world of Final Cut Pro and professional video and everything that's going on. So we'll be hearing from him on a regular basis. And we want to close out this time by having him tell us a little bit about what's coming up at Macworld in San Francisco in January, right after he recovers from DV Expo West.
Yeah, this is actually huge because your audience is the first to know about this. I'm announcing this for the first time because I just inked this afternoon. Macworld, we do this show every year at this wonderful nightclub called the Mezzanine Club, which is only about a couple of blocks away from the Moscone Center. And this year it'll be January 11th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. And we just booked Walter Murch, Academy Award winning editor Walter Murch, as our featured speaker. So this is a big deal for the editing community and the Final Cut community, and you are the first to know about it. And tickets will be going on sale. I believe it's going to be December 7th, and information will be on the Lapsy Pug website or the San Francisco Cutters website or the Boston website. We're going to tell everybody exactly when we're going to sell the tickets, when they go on sale, so everybody has an equal opportunity to get a seat. And this will sell out, and it will sell out quickly. So if you're not paying attention, then you lose. If you are paying attention, you can get a ticket.
And, Mike, I might ask for some of the listeners for you to give us a little background on Mr. Murch.
All right. Walter Murch was he's probably most famous for his first movie was The Conversation that Francis Ford Coppola edited. He also did the sound editing for American Graffiti. He edited and did the sound editing for Apocalypse Now. He's edited or done the sound editing for all three Godfather movies. He won the Academy Award for Best Editor and Best Film Editor and Sound Editor for The Talented Mr. Ripley. I think it was The Talented Mr. Ripley. Or was it English Patient? I think it was English Patient. Anyway, he did both those movies. And he was the first guy to use Final Cut Pro on a major motion picture using that on Cold Mountain. And, of course, he just edited Jarhead, which is now playing. And he used Final Cut Pro for that. So he's pretty much put Final Cut Pro on the map. And that's why he's such a is a big deal, especially the Final Cut Pro community, because a lot of feature movies now are using Final Cut Pro as a direct result of him. You know, a lot of people give a lot of these Final Cut Pro users credit, but no big budget features used Final Cut until Walter Murch used it, and used it easily and effectively and well, and decided to use it again. And now it's just commonplace. There's so many people, so many big budget motion pictures using Final Cut. It's just, it's almost, I couldn't count the number of films that are being used or using Final Cut now. Before, it was just nobody. Now it's everybody.
Well, and I think most of us have heard of one or two of those movies that you just mentioned. So that
I think so.
Yeah, gives everybody a little better feel for just how impressive this is and how
popular
it's going to be.
What makes Walter Murch? I mean, he's a brilliant editor. Everybody will agree that. But what makes him so good is that he is so articulate about talking about the craft of editing. There are wonderful editors out there doing wonderful work, but none are as articulate about the craft of editing as he is. And his books reflect this. His best-selling In the Blink of an Eye is still selling like crazy. Beyond the Scene, which was the editing of Cold Mountain, was a big seller. And if you read his essays and read his books, there is no one out there that comes close to being able to articulate what the craft of editing a motion picture is all about. And he does that, and he's spoken to my group a couple of times, and he's just magnificent and such a wonderful, dear man who will... He's always the last guy to leave the theater. And that's just a testimony to... He loves to share not only the stories, but the craft. And there's not a lot of guys you can say that about. Or they might want to share, but they just can't articulate it. It's very, very difficult for creative people to talk about what they do and how they do it. But this guy can. And actually makes a very big effort to talk about how the process is, how he does it, how you can do it too.
So that means that on December 7th, you want to be watching the Laughsy Pug website and find out how you can get tickets to this major Final Cut Pro event and to see Walter Murch.
Absolutely. Yeah, because if you're not watching, you're not going to get a ticket because it will sell out quickly.
Mike, I know how much work you have to do before the event on the 7th, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us and also for agreeing to stop back on a regular basis and educate us all a little more about the professional side of video production, especially in relation to Apple products.
It's my honor, and I always love talking to you. And if anybody out there has any questions, you know, just email Chuck or email me, and then we'll get those questions answered on the next time we talk about this.
Mike is the prince of segues because I want to make sure that the listeners are reminded that if you do have questions or issues about this or any edition of Mac Voices, drop me an email at chuck@macvoices.com or feel free to call our talkback line, which is 206-350-1371. And as Mike said, it's always good to hear from you and get information and questions for future shows. We've been talking to Michael Horton of the Los Angeles Final Cut Pro User Group. Michael, thanks so much. We will talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Chuck.
My name's Chuck Joyner, and you've been listening to Mac Voices. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening.